Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 8. How many of you love the Bible? Yes. Excellent. Now, we're going to just carry on our whole theme at the moment at this time about living the gospel. What does that mean? What does that look like? And this morning we're just going to look at living the cause of the gospel. And Barry's already shared some things. So this is kind of part two, really, this morning of what he was just sharing. And because some of what we're going to look at is how, not look at what people have done over the last few centuries, but you can see through different individuals that were believers because of the call upon their life and because they had an understanding of God's heart and the power of the gospel, how they, for many years, even decades, some of them, lived, worked for, prayed for, believed for, different things to happen in society, in this nation. And as a result of their tenacity, as a result of their faith, as a result of them just enduring opposition and enduring illness some of the time, enduring all kinds of things, they persisted in what God had spoken over their life, and they continued in that, mobilized others, and saw laws change in our country. They saw governments change. They saw, as a result, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands or more of people's lives changed because they had a conviction of the cause of the gospel, of the power of the gospel. Because the gospel isn't just a theory. The gospel isn't just a message that is preached. It's a lifestyle that we live, but it's the very heart and nature of God that is revealed that is the gospel, okay? So we want to read Romans chapter 8, a few verses in here from 15 onwards for a moment. We're going to look at really four things that are the cause of the gospel and what the gospel actually does to bring that transformation. And hopefully, I've been praying that every one of us is going to be stirred in a fresh way this morning to run with what God has put in your heart to run with. Some of you are in business. That's the call upon your life to see God outwork his kingdom where you are in your business. Others of you in this season of time, you're a mum, you're raising your kids. For this season, this is exactly where God wants you to be, raising your kids as young warriors, as young men and women of God, and bringing them into everything that God wants them to so that they launch into the destiny that God has put on their life to be everything that God has called them to be. So we don't despise the moment or the season, but actually you're right where God wants you in this season to raise your kids and also to connect with other mums, other people, to see them come into the kingdom as well. You might be in a season where you're in a job and you think, well, I don't know if I've got much influence here. I don't know if I can do a lot here. But actually, right where you are is where God wants you. And as you understand his redemptive purposes, as you understand the cause of the gospel and how the gospel works and what it does and why we're sent out with this mandate to be ambassadors of God on the earth, then we realize whatever context we're in, whatever job we're in, whatever season of life we're in, God wants to do something today through our lives that's going to impact somebody else. You might be living with a cause where you want to see prostitutes reached and see them born again. You might be living with a cause to do with human trafficking and you think, I want to see that change. I want to see something happen there. You might be living with a cause to do with poverty and you think there's not the right justice in lives, and so God has put something in me about seeing poverty reversed and lives being turned around. You might have something in your heart to do with people that are in addictions, whether drugs or alcohol or some kind of thing like that, and you think, I want to see people set free in there. You might have a cause that's rising up on the inside of you. Where does it come from? It comes from the cause of the gospel that God has put on the inside of you because he wants to turn a life around. He wants to turn a load of lives around. He wants to change something in society. He wants to change something, but he stirs something up in us about the cause of his gospel on earth. You might have a cause burning within you to see reconciliation, one new man in Israel between Jew and Arab. And you pray into that and you support that financially. You might want to go over there more. You might want to find out, how can I have more of an impact and how can I be part of that more? That could be one area that God is raising up, the cause of the gospel, to bring reconciliation, not just between one or two, but between people groups. There's something that God wants to stir in every one of us about our everyday lives, but also the bigger cause of what He is doing around the earth at this time. And what is it that you might need to say? I need to plug into that cause of the gospel to see the turning of the tide of a godless society in some way in our community, in our region, or in our nation. You might be running with the cause of the Child Contact Center, wanting to see children reconnected with their parents. You might be stirred by God saying, I want you to adopt a child. Yes. Yes. Come on. I had a phone call a few weeks back and from a senior lady in social services. And it was about a particular situation to do with an individual. But then at the end of the phone call, she said, can I just ask you a favour? Not related to the subject we just talked about, but can I ask you a favour? I said, yeah, sure. She said, would you please, and she said, can I plead with you? I said, okay. Now, it's interesting, if you've got somebody from social service saying, I want to plead with you. She said, can I make a plea to you, please, please, please? And she said I was a bit surprised, like, okay. Would you ask your congregation if there is anybody that would remotely, might be, or slightly interested in adopting a child? Because we've got a massive problem in this area and we need people to adopt children. And so could you please make a plea to your congregation on my behalf and ask them if anybody's even slightly interested in finding out what that would mean, what then would you please then get them to talk to you and then call me back and let me know if there's anybody that's slightly interested. It wasn't just that, look, you know, by the way, can you make an announcement? It was like, could you make a plea on my behalf to your congregation? Is there anybody that would be interested? So I don't know if any of you, God has been speaking to you about adopting children. And it's been something that you've been thinking about, praying about, talking with your husband or wife about. And that's something you think, actually, we need to do something. If that has been something that God has been stirring in you, can you please come and have a word with me? And then we can just get into contact back with this lady and she can connect with you, even if it's just a meeting initially, to have a conversation. But, you know, the world is crying out. And we have so much to give to people out there. So let's have a look, reading Romans chapter 8, so we actually get into the word a bit. Romans 8, verse 15. When he came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past life, making you a slave of fear again. How many of you have been set free from that? You receive the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. Just turn to the person next to you. I'm a son of God. That's pretty good, isn't it? You've got it. Natural parents, but actually you're a son of God this morning. You can call him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in our hearts. For if we know that we are his children, then we know also that we are his heirs. Yes, we are heirs of God and inherit all his blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to him, but this is only so that we will also share eternally in his glory. That's why God wants us to live with an eternal perspective in our lives every day. That no matter what we face, what the challenges are, what costs may come in front of us, if we're living for God's eternal purposes, then we know we can face, you know, the challenges of the day. Verse 18. Now you can see why I consider my current predicament as a minor inconvenience compared with the wonderful glory that will be revealed in us. Why, even creation itself is in suspense, longing for God's sons to reveal who they are. You see, it was his will that his purposes for his creation would be frustrated until this happens. People did not choose this frustration for themselves. It was imposed on them by God. Because creation can only be liberated from bondage, from that death principle we see at work all around us, by being brought into the liberty that God's children enjoy because they know and reflect His glory. Everywhere around us seems that creation is groaning just like a woman about to give birth. And we looked at some of that last week, how creation is groaning in the natural. People are groaning out for something beyond what they know and see. Society is groaning with the financial pressure on all different levels. There's natural disasters. There's financial pressure because of man's greed and whatnot. There are other things going on. Although we... Verse 23, there is even a sense in which we believers are also groaning inwardly. Now, we're not groaning in the same way as people that don't know Jesus are. Creation and the world is groaning because there's pressure and because there is shortfall, because there is disaster, because there is lack of hope, because there is fear. There's creation crying out to be free from whatever's going on. But we groan with something different inwardly. We're groaning partly for the return of Jesus, but we're groaning for God's salvation purposes to be outworked on the earth in the day. Now is the day, now's the time. At this moment, although we know the Spirit is already at work within us, we long for the time when we will go to be with the Lord as His sons, when we experience the resurrection of our bodies. This is the hope we have because of the salvation we have received. Now, I know, like last week, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if Jesus just returned today? On one level, it'd be like brilliant, you know, but yet, there are millions, millions and millions of people that don't know Jesus yet. And creation, society, people, as well as the natural, are crying out, groaning out for something. But we're inwardly groaning for the one that we know who is the answer. And our inward groan isn't just, please Jesus, come today so that we can be with you forever. Our groan is, God, come and do something now in our day that changes the lives of thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people. So let's just have a look at the cause of the gospel and we'll pick a few things out of what we've been reading. I love this verse in verse 21 where it says, people did not choose the frustration for themselves. It was imposed on them by God because creation can only be liberated from bondage, from that death principle we see at work all around us, by being brought into the liberty that God's children enjoy because they know and reflect His glory. How many of you know that God outworks His purposes on earth through a person? Through people, through flesh and blood, you and me sitting in this room. God works out His purposes through very normal, very down to earth, very everyday people like you and me. And He says, I'm going to get a hold of them and I'm going to take hold of them and I'm going to work out my supernatural purposes through very ordinary, very everyday people and do something that would amaze them even in their day because of the promises, because they believed what I said and they responded to what I wanted to do in their day. Now the word liberty there, or liberation, okay, is the word like libera, okay? You might think, Clive, don't get into all this morning, I've only just got up. But the word there was libera, okay? And I love this because if the gospel is the one that liberates not just people but the whole of creation, which is the power of the gospel, that's what we're looking at this morning. We're talking about the power of the gospel that liberates the whole of creation. And the word libera there means to be exempt from liability or to be exempt from blame. So it says there that the gospel liberates mankind, liberates salvation, and pays a price so that we don't have to actually be condemned or punished, but actually it makes us exempt from liability and blame. So the gospel causes creation to be set free, to be delivered from every slavery. One of those slaveries is the power of sin. What does sin do? Sin decays. When somebody's life is captured by sin, their life is in decay. How many of you know when you get born again, the power of sin is broken when you come to know, because of the forgiving power of the cross and the blood of Jesus, we're free from the punishment of sin. And then it says that we're renewed daily. Our youth is renewed like the eagle. So in God, you're growing in God. You're becoming renewed every day. So the decay is now being changed from death to life. And now we're increasing from one degree of glory to the next. That's the liberating power of the gospel. And so this liberty that we're talking about this morning, that God wants to bring to individuals, to mankind, to reach into different areas of modern day slavery, like human trafficking, or into the whole area of poverty, or into the area of prostitution, or into different areas of business, or whatever, or in government, whatever it is, the cause of the gospel is one that is full of mercy, because it's only God's mercy that brings exemption from the punishment of what we have done that we deserve. But yet Jesus hung on the cross there that day and said, I'll pay the price so that they can be exempt from every liability and every punishment that they deserve. I'll take it upon myself and pay the price for all of that so that they can go free. So even when Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later, a few weeks later, he poured out the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the cause of the gospel to the ends of the earth, to reach every people group, to reach into every need of society, is then going to be taken by people like you and me. Yes. That we're now ambassadors on the earth carrying the cause of this gospel, this cause that brings liberty, this cause that takes away all of the liability, that takes away all the punishment, that takes away all the reasons why God should say, it's your fault and you're going to face the punishment. We're now taking this gospel that says, that comes with God's mercy and God's grace, that declares to an individual, declares to society, it declares into a particular need going on around us. It says, God has already made a way for you to come out of that. His mercy is big enough. His grace is big enough. His healing power is big enough. The power of the gospel is big enough to bring hope and freedom and destiny into your life and take you out of what you're addicted to, caught up in, bound up in, and you can come out of that. That's why I'm alive and that's why I'm here. So what's the cause of the gospel that God is stirring in you in these days? How many of you have seen the film about Wilberforce, Amazing Grace? How many of you have seen that one? If you haven't, have a watch. If you can get it out on DVD, or I think we might have one, we could lend it to you. Have we got one? Anyway, somebody's got one. Maybe we haven't. I've got it on my iPhone. Anyway, and actually quite often when I'm on an airplane, I'll watch that, Amazing Grace. And it's pretty, because this young, when he was young, when he started, had some kind of thing with God, he was aware, he was a bit, he was a believer in some way, not born again, but yet he felt this little stirring. I think I've got to do something. I think God might want me to do something. That's how it started. He wasn't born with this massive thing on him and he just knew, right, I'm going to change, the destiny of hundreds of thousands, if not more, people's lives. I'm the man for slavery and everything to set people free. It started with a, I think God wants me to do something. I've got this, I've got to submit to what God wants. And he struggled at first, politics or God. And some people said, may we suggest you do both? And his response at first was, well, is that possible? And they were like, yeah, God can raise you up in that position to actually then bring a complete transformation for many, many years to come. Not just for a few weeks. This guy worked for over, was it 40 years? Well, he was in politics for 40 years, but 27 years was it or something? It took till they changed the law completely to do with slavery. Part of the vision God has given us is turning the tide of a godless society, isn't it? And for a generation of time, that's a 40-year period. So the gospel is about an individual getting saved, your friend, your neighbour, my friend, my neighbour. But it's also about transforming society. The power of the gospel, the liberty, the libera, bringing exemption from liability and blame to all creation. But then it talks about the sons of God being revealed. The sons of God being revealed in these days. How are the sons of God revealed? How are the sons of God revealed? Do you want to know? The sons of God are revealed by you and me daily, taking one step after another, doing what God has put in our hearts to do, that we're faithful to that, we're obedient to that, we rise to what God is saying, we respond to what God is saying. And as we daily walk with God, the sons of God are revealed to a people that need to be set free, whether it's somebody in our social setting of life, friends or whatever, or where there's a particular area that God raises up in you, a cause to live for, that might have something to do with politics. It might have a particular area of life. But as you step into that and God works in your heart, and as you continue to move into that and God continue to work in your heart, it brings liberty, freedom into. But that's how the sons of God are revealed, as they respond to God, as they rise in God, as they're obedient to what God says, as they respond daily to what God's voice is. Why? Because they're living for a cause that is bigger inside of them than the challenge of a moment or the possibility of going to the left or to the right. When you've got a cause that you're living for that's bigger than the moment, it's a lot easier to make choices in the moment that say, no, I'm not going to do this or do that, because actually I'm living for something that is so much more than how I might feel or what I might benefit from today. I'm living for the cause that's going to transform thousands and thousands and thousands of people's lives. We might not see that on our own individually, but as a people, that's what we're called to see thousands and thousands and thousands of lives transformed. Okay, we've got 5 minutes. We'll have to finish this off another week. There's four parts of the gospel bringing liberation, okay? Firstly, there's God's justice. Secondly, God's righteousness. Thirdly, the gospel of peace. And fourth, the gospel of reconciliation, okay? We're not going to have a chance to go in time to go into all this morning. But first of all, to do with the cause of the gospel, you can intertwine these either which way around, justice or righteousness. But we'll start with justice. Just quickly look at Isaiah 53 for a minute. God is a God of justice. Why? Because he's a God of righteousness. And God wants to work out his justice. Now, what does that mean? If something is just and right, that means everything has to come into line with that. So God has already expressed his justice by Jesus going to the cross. If something is just, it's because it has to make a judgment on something to make sure everything lines up with whatever that rightness is, or that just, however justice needs to be exercised. And in Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by men, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now we can read through more of Isaiah 53, but God exercised justice. Well, God had to exercise justice to deal with the power of sin. And the only way he could deal with his justice was if he dealt with it himself. And so he exercised justice by sending Jesus, who was a perfect sacrifice, on the cross to take everything that was imperfect so that he could judge our sin, deal with it, to enable us to be forgiven, so that we could be made right with or one with God. And so that we wouldn't have to face the payment or the punishment of sin. Romans 6:23 says that the penalty or the wages of sin is death. Sin pays out things. And the payment for sin is death, separation from God. But God's heart was not for us to be separated from him. So he wanted to exercise his justice over the power of sin, to break the power of sin, to deal with sin, to exercise justice so that we could then be forgiven and come into a oneness or right relationship with God, because that is the cause of the gospel. One of the causes of the gospel is God exercising justice so that mankind could be made free and it's possible for man to be saved. What else links with God's justice? It's not just that he deals with something to punish it, but God's justice is then exercised with giving. In Romans 6:23, it says the penalty for sin is death, but then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so God's justice is exercised not only in dealing with the power of sin, but it's also then exercised by then giving the opportunity to be saved so that we could be justified or made right with God or forgiven. Therefore, he says, part of my justice is going to be exercised by giving you the gift of something, but you only receive a gift by taking hold of it. So there's nothing we can do that pays for our salvation or forgiveness. That's a gift from God. And so God's justice has been exercised, and that's the beginning really where God started. If the gospel is going to liberate mankind, then my justice has got to be exercised. It was exercised with Jesus going to the cross, taking all the punishment that our sins deserve, so that we could have the possibility of being forgiven and being made right with God. And then in that process, God then exercises his righteousness, or he makes us righteous. We haven't got time to go into all this morning. But righteousness actually means that we become equipped. We are then, what the right word is, we're acquitted or forgiven, let off the hook, made right with God, or made holy. God's righteousness is that we become innocent before him. See, if this is the cause of the gospel, the cause of the gospel is outworked by God exercising justice, dealing with the power of sin, making the gift of salvation possible to make us righteous. So then that gives us peace with God, or to be at one with God. If you look at the gospel of peace and the number of the scriptures that it talks about, being at one with God, which then enables us to be reconciled with God and to one another, and beyond just to one another, reconciled as we see in Israel, you know, one new man in Christ, Jew and Arab, across a massive divide in the natural. But yet, those four, that's the way that God exercises the cause, that's what the cause of the gospel is all about. And we want to live with this cause of the gospel in us, that it's God's justice has been exercised so that we can be forgiven, and the gift of salvation is there, which many of us have taken hold of. It's made us right with God, which has given us peace with God, which now enables us to be reconciled with God and one another. And then it enables us to become people of justice, of righteousness, of peace, and of reconciliation. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5, it then talks about us becoming ambassadors of the gospel, that we're then carriers of justice. What does that mean? We're not coming to judge other people, but we're coming with the gospel of justice. We're coming with the gospel of righteousness. We're coming with the gospel of peace. And we're coming with the gospel of reconciliation. And that's God's heart, and that's the heart that we come with. It's the power of the gospel at work. Let's just finish this morning with one verse, or a few verses from Colossians chapter 1. Just read these powerful verses this morning, or powerful verses any time of the day, but as we read them this morning. Colossians 1, verse 19. You see, it was God's good purpose to place the fullness of his life in his Son, so that through his life, death, and resurrection, everything on earth could be brought back to his will and made one with all that is in heaven. That's the purpose of the gospel. To make everything on earth one with that which is in heaven. And all this has been made possible through the cross. For through the shedding of his blood, the Son has made peace between God and man. You used to be separated from God. You were his enemies because of the ways you thought and believed, which were evil in his sight. But now, through what Christ endured in his physical body, you have been reconciled to God, so that you are now one with him. It is through his death that he has made you holy before God. And it is Christ who will one day present you to his Father perfect free from any accusation the devil could bring against you. However, for him to complete this purpose, you have to persist in your faith, allowing nothing to shake your trust in him, so that you attain the hope that you have received through the gospel, your rich inheritance in heaven. This is the good news you heard at the beginning of your Christian walk, and hope that it is held out to the whole of creation. And I, Paul, have become a servant of this wonderful gospel. There have been many that have gone before us, Shaftesbury, Wilberforce, men and women of God that have done all kinds of things. There have been others that God has put in place in any season of time. Churchill during the actual initial war years. The king at the time. Most of you have probably seen the king's speech. Rising above natural adversity. Both of those guys were the men for the hour during those particular years and situations during the war. There are people that God has raised up today. God is raising up people all over the world to stand for certain things. And not just to stand for something, but to see a change and a transformation in those areas. What does it mean to be a people of revival in the 21st century? Because what does revival look like when it's outworked in society? It is the turning of a tide of a godless society. It means that our drug culture changes. It means that we see many less abortions. It means that human trafficking decreases. We see less women on the streets in terms of prostitution. We see the unrighteousness in our government in different ways exposed, and God's righteousness being exercised and outworked. It means in business, something happens in the world that you might be in, if you're a business guy, instead of corruption and greed in there, you come in not just your business, but you come in with a whole kingdom culture and dynamic because of the kind of business God has raised you up in. There's kingdom life and morals that you're bringing into other companies and other people because of what God has called you to do in terms of bringing kingdom transformation in different situations. It might be that you're running with poverty. It might be that you're running with something going on out there. You say, God has put this on my heart. It might be that you, like we said earlier, I need to adopt a child. Whether it's to the one or to the many. There's the cause of the gospel that is rampant all over the earth at this time. And as a church, we want to rise in this trumpet call from heaven for the cause of the gospel, for the sound of the gospel that's being trumpeted all over the earth, that we live with that daily with our friends and neighbours, but we're also living with it daily on a bigger scale because we're part of something so much bigger that affects communities, societies in different areas of need. So let's stand to our feet, shall we, this morning. Just take a few minutes to pray and just respond to God. Because I believe, and I've been praying particularly, that God would stir in every one of us during these days the immediacy of the gospel in each one of our lives, the power of the gospel in each one of our lives, that there'd be a fresh understanding and revelation, an acceleration really of God's heart in our hearts in these days for people that we're reaching out to. People in our community, things going on in our nation, things happening in the nations. We're in days where we've got to stand and know why we're standing and what we're standing for. We're not standing against things. We're not coming with an anti-gospel that says this is wrong, that's wrong, the other's wrong, this is wrong. We're coming with good news. We're coming with the good news of the gospel. We're coming with the liberation of the gospel, whether to an individual or to many. There's something of freedom and life that we're coming with in these days. We don't stand against things. We stand for the gospel. We come against things in the spirit, but we don't stand on a soapbox telling everybody else why they're wrong and why we're right and all of that. No, the only soapbox we get onto is the one that's going to bring life and bring freedom, because it's the way we live, and it's kingdom in action. Sometimes we just need to stand on a soapbox to get a better view and say, now what does it look like so we know how to actually go and meet the need? Not stand on a soapbox so that we can say our thing and we've got our point across. There's loads of people doing that in different ways, whatever they believe, philosophies, lifestyles. We want to get in there with the cause of the gospel, with that liberty, freedom. that justice, righteousness, peace, and reconciliation. That's the cause of the gospel, to turn creation around, to turn society around, to turn individuals around. Let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the power of the gospel that is at work all over the earth at this time. Father, we've got examples back in history of different individuals that started with a bit of a stirring. Nobody had heard of them. Like many people haven't heard of us as individuals and who we are. But yet, when the gospel starts to stir in people, when you begin to stir in people a cause that you want to see take place, people's lives transformed, it mobilizes us into action. We've just got to do what is stirred up on the inside. Just invite the Holy Spirit this morning to stir you afresh with his heart, with the cause of the gospel, for God's justice to be exercised. That's not just judgment, like judge everything, God. It's God, come with your justice to make things right. He's already exercised that by dealing with the power of sin. But now God wants to make things right. Thank you, Father, for your heart for people in a fresh way. For your justice, righteousness, the gospel of peace. Father, you say to make sure we've got shoes shod with the gospel of peace. Father, I thank you in this room we've got business guys that are living according to kingdom principles in their businesses. Father, I ask you to accelerate the influence that they have in other businesses. Father, I thank you for those in this room, in this church, some of the younger people, children, that you've got your hand on to raise up into politics, into different areas. Father, I thank you for an acceleration in that area. Father, I thank you for those in the room right now, you've put on their hearts to reach some of the prostitutes in the area and begin to see them come to know you and be set free. Father, I thank you for the cause that you've placed on the inside. Open doors that no man can shut. Give favor there to reach into their lives. The others that you've put human trafficking on their hearts. Father, I thank you for a great relationship with the police and other agencies. But Father, I thank you that you're opening up a way for the power of your gospel, for the cause of your gospel to bring freedom into lives, to rescue people out of that whole cycle of slavery. Father, I thank you for others that you put on their heart this whole air of poverty. Father, I thank you again that you'd open up doors that no man can shut and get into that area to see lives pulled out of that kind of thing. Father, I thank you for others that you've placed on their heart to adopt a child or to adopt children. Father, I thank you as we respond to that, you open up situations. You already have children that you already know are going to be rescued or chosen or adopted to bring out of their situations and into a whole new future because you've already called them, you've already chosen them by name. Father, we thank you for even Barry standing in this room right now with us. A man who's living with the cause of the gospel, with a mandate upon his life. Started with maybe just the stirrings many years ago, but as they've responded, tens, hundreds of thousands of lives have been impacted and reached and transformed because of the cause of the gospel. Father, I thank you for the heart that you've placed in there for both Jew and Arab to see one new man in Christ, because it's your heart that supersedes every race, every nationality, and every other religion. It's your heart, Father, that supersedes that. Father, I thank you for that this man who stands as a modern day kind of representative of what we're talking about this morning, living with a cause, and that you open even more doors for these guys in Israel that no man can shut. For I thank you right down to the cause of friends that we have, neighbors, people we're reaching out to, people who come in the week to Little Builders, Friday Night Club, Wednesday morning when the hub's open. Father, I thank you. You stir in us as a people the cause of the gospel. The gospel of peace, the gospel of reconciliation that reconciles men back to you. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Just take a few moments. Just pray now for the friend or friends that you're reaching out to that are unsaved. Just pray for them right now. Just thank God for them. Thank God for their salvation. Thank God for that he moves in their life this week. Something happens in their life. Could be a friend, could be a family. Just raise your voices for a minute. Father, I ask you that you would just stir afresh in the two guys that I'm praying for. I thank you that you're working in them. Father, I thank you for your salvation at work. Father, I thank you quickening them even this week. Father, they become aware of your presence around them. As I pray for them, they're going to be aware of your presence around them. They're going to think about you. They're going to think about the things that we've spoken about. I thank you that you won't let their soul rest, Father. You won't let them just stay as they are, but you stir in them afresh even this week. That something of your word, the seed of your word that's gone in there, would just stir in them, that they wouldn't be at a rest in their soul. They would be just in their soul saying, I've got to do something with this thing that I've heard, with this Jesus I've heard about, with this message that I've heard. Father, I thank you that you work in them. Thank you that you disarm them. Thank you, Father, for the power of the enemy broken off their lives right now. I thank you for the freedom and the liberty of your saving grace touching their lives even this week, Father. I thank you for every person we're praying for right now. We declare your salvation, your liberty, your freedom. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name for people coming out of darkness into light, coming out of death into life. Father, I thank you for the cause of the gospel rising up amongst us as a people, that it won't be able to stay shut up in our bones, but there'll be a rising even this week where we've got to share, got to communicate, got to release the life that is within us, Father. Praise your awesome name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just remember this week, God's justice has been exercised so that he can make us righteous, right with him. To bring us peace, to make us one with him. And for his reconciliation, to be reconciled to him. That's the cause of the gospel. So this week, just think justice, righteousness, peace, reconciliation. That's the gospel. That's what it does. Just ask the Lord, Father, this week, thank you for opportunities. Share the good news of the gospel with people this week. Thank you, Father. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray every one of us this week would be a week of your life flowing through our lives. Father, I thank you for those God appointments, God moments this week where maybe somebody's in despair and they need hope. Somebody else is in sickness and they need healing. Somebody else is in pain and they need freedom. Somebody else is in shame and they need to be set free. There might be somebody else who's in financial difficulty and we can step in and help them to work that through and get out of that. Father, I thank you that you already have people lined up for every one of us this week. You know, God has people for every one of us this week. And we just need to say, God, I'm available. Lead me, guide me, show me. I'm going to walk through life this week and lead me into those situations that you've appointed to see other people's lives touched as a result of that. And something's going to rise up in you and flow out of your life to touch their life. Father, I thank you for the wisdom. I thank you for the sensitivity of your voice. I thank you for even words of knowledge, for the gifts of the Spirit to be flowing in our lives this week, to see you touch other people's lives so they come out of what they're in and into what you want them to be in this week. We praise your awesome, mighty, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Brilliant. We haven't got time for any worship at the end this morning. The kids are arriving back. Have a really fruitful week this week. Okay? Look for opportunities. If you're looking for opportunities, God's going to give you them. Okay? So just walk in the things of God this week. Have an awesome week. Bless people. Just expect every day for God to do something through your life. When you get up in the morning, God, use me today to see something happen in somebody else's life. All right?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.